As he pulls his thumb out, he puts his hand on the back of my head and forces me toward him swiftly, taking my mouth once again, seizing control of my will and my desire. He retreats for a moment to say, "I want you in my bed." Squatting down, he wraps his arms around my legs and hoists me into the air, slinging me over his shoulder, letting me know who's boss. Kicking out of his jeans and boxers, he carries me through his unit, through a short hall, then enters the doorway at the end of it. He makes his way to a California king-size bed and throws me onto my back before crawling on top of me. We claw and grapple at each other's clothes, struggling to pull them off. I can't get naked fast enough. I want his lips, his mouth, his hands crawling all over my body, hitting all those places they were so good at stimulating. At the same time, I want to touch and kiss and lick and suck all over him, but it's impossible to do everything at once, so it results in us in a frenzy, making up for lost time. "I need you inside me again," I tell him, "but it's so much more than that. I need him possessing me. I need him taking what's his with reckless abandon, like this, while he's wild and virile. A moment where we've once again allowed ourselves to forget about reality and just do what we want. What our bodies command us to do." Eric. The way my cock throbs, I feel like I've been blue-balling for weeks. Although, even after I left Mexico, I jerked off plenty of times, imagining a moment like this with Jesse, him lying beneath me, our bodies pressed together as we worked up an intense, frantic recreation of all those wonderful things we shared. How can this be even better than I imagined it would be? How can every tongue-filled kiss, every caress, every stroke be more intoxicating than even what it feels like we shared before? Whatever reason, I know I can't let this moment escape, not like it did so easily before. I kiss down his body, trying to mentally record every bit of flesh, every muscle, every curve, every line, the way he tastes. Things that all seem to have somehow escaped me. I can't imagine how. But every passing day, it's like those things that were so incredible were racing to get away from me. When I reach his ass, I hook my arms under his thighs and lift them up, pressing my face between his cheeks, moving my tongue in a frenzy around his hole. He arches his back, moaning, revealing his pleasure, just how much he wants this. I push my fingers, middle and forefinger, against his hole, massaging gently, licking, trying to stimulate him as much as possible. "God, I missed that," he says. His relief sounds like it mirrors my own. I want to work him up, ease him into this, but I'm too selfish in this moment. I pull away and hop off the bed, hurrying to my nightstand. As I look back to him, I see this knowing expression across his face. His own desire to enjoy all those things we've been missing. I feel so conflicted. Part of me wants to rush to enjoy this experience as quickly as possible, to get it done so that nothing can take it away from us. Another part of me wants to take my time and enjoy it for as long as I can. Like so many things with Jesse, I know my body's need will take control. I get the condom on quickly, and soon I have my arms under Jesse's legs. I stand at the edge of the bed, and he lies stretched out across the mattress as I push into him. This isn't like the times when I went slow, when I was easing him into it. He's familiar with it all now, and so I have my way with him and see that sparkle in his eyes as they glisten under the overhanging chandelier light. He twists and turns. "Right there," he mutters, "right there." As he absorbs each forceful thrust from me, he throws his head back, calling out, "God, yes, Eric, God, yes." His encouragement only compels me to keep going, harder, faster, working up a sweat which drips from my veins onto my shoulders and all across his quaking body. I lean down, the crook of my arms in the crook of his legs. I watch his expression twisting and twitching with that ever-present smile. I'm the one making him feel this good. Knowing that I have this power over him sends an intoxicating rush through me. He looks at me, and his smile broadens. "You like my tight ass?" he asks. "Because I like your big cock inside it." I growl before shoving him farther on the bed, crawling onto it and staying inside him. I push his legs forward so that his ass tilts up slightly, and I continue my work, keeping my hands against his thighs. He grips his shaft and starts stroking up and down, his body seemingly a fit of muscle spasms and contractions. "I'm getting close," he warns. I grab the wrist of the hand he's jerking off with, and he releases his hold on his dick. I force his hand over his head and then take his other wrist, keeping them locked over him on the mattress. "You think you can come like this?" I ask him, my movements shaking the entire mattress. His mouth hangs open, and he opens it more like he's trying to respond, but I can tell by the way he flinches that he can't control his body, not anymore. So I work harder. Move faster. And as he knocks the back of his head against the mattress, I glance down and see him shooting across his abs. He grunts and growls, and I kiss him again, even knowing he's still caught up in this fit, unable to kiss back for a moment. But finally, when he's able to, he gives me that confirmation of his own pleasure as his lips and tongue keep my mouth busy. The relief of having satisfied him makes the pressure that's swelling in my own balls release, and I only have a few jerks left in me before it's over. Soon, I find my hips pressed up tight against his ass as I offer feverish kisses, savoring each one of them, like I savored that climax. We breathe in sync. It's just us. That's all that fucking matters. And yet, I know better than that. I know there's a conversation to be had, but not this second. Not while I'm still adjusting to the taste of his mouth and the sensation of his body against mine. "And here I thought I was going to get more of an appetizer," Jesse quips, and as I pull back, I see him grinning, so fucking amused with himself. "Well then, I guess we'll have to go again," I tell him. He chuckles. God, I missed this. Jesse. He gives me that appetizer I asked for before we take a shower together. In each kiss we share, I can feel how much he missed me. I like that he's about as incapable of keeping his hands off me as I am with him. It mirrors how I feel about not having seen him. As we kiss beneath the shower head, the water streams between us and webs across our faces. The warmth mixes with our collective body heat. He sets his hands on my cheeks before leaning back, holding my gaze. I'm waiting for him to smirk or smile, but his expression remains stoic. "What are you thinking, Eric? About the same things I am? About how complicated all this is? About all those things we haven't discussed?" In a way, we haven't escaped the fantasy that was our experience in Puerto Vallarta. It's just changed places. Now it's in his shower, our own private bubble where we share space, but only with one another. "Thank you for coming over tonight," he says. "Thank you. I'm not doing you a favor. I'm over here because I want to be with you. I can't tell you how much I've missed this. How much I've missed you." I can tell he means more than the way it feels when we're messing around in the bedroom. It's the real reason I'm here. I feel the same way about him. When we finish showering, we return to his kitchen, where he works to recover dinner. Fortunately, his chicken really was cooked through, which makes the rest a lot easier to manage. While he puts on a pot to boil water for the pasta, I ask, "What can I help with?"
"You can just sit at the table and look pretty."
"Uh-uh, none of that shit. Clearly, you need help making the sides." I spot some broccoli he's laid out on the counter.
Here we go, I say, as I approach it. Now I can do something with this.
I was going to steam it.
Steam it? Oh, no, no, no. We're baking this. Where's a bowl? I dig through his cabinets for a moment before he laughs at my efforts and directs me to the correct cabinet. Once I have a bowl, I continue exploring his kitchen, fetching some olive oil, pepper, and garlic salt. I wash the broccoli and cut it before mixing it with the olive oil in the bowl, adding seasoning with some salt and pepper. I spread aluminum foil in a pan before putting it in the oven. See? I could be useful in the kitchen, too. I may not be the best cook in the world, but I could surprise you with some of my mad baking skills.
I'll have to remember that, he says while he continues preparing the pasta.
We work together to finish the meal, and when we near completion, I grab the plates off the table so that Eric can put the food on. Soon we're both sitting at the table, Eric pouring us each a glass of Chardonnay from the bottle he's chilled in the ice bucket. As we eat, I appreciate I was able to help out. This is really good, I tell him.
I figured it would be a nice first date meal.
Technically, it's not our first date. We've discussed this. We already had our first date. We've actually been on a few.
Those don't really count.
And why is that?
We were just messing around, having fun. I think we both assumed that when we got back here, it was going to stop.
A date only means we were getting to know each other, which we were doing, I remind him.
We're clearly operating off two very different definitions of date.
Fair enough. But according to me, just know we're practically going steady at this point. He laughs. I'm kidding. Yet, I'm really not.
Jokes aside, he says, I want to congratulate you again on getting that job. I wish we'd had more of a chance to celebrate it together, the way we initially planned.
He raises his glass, and I tap mine against it. There's sort of an unspoken uneasiness that rises with his mention of not being able to celebrate me getting my job, considering the reason we were interrupted was because my best friend, his son, walked in and interrupted whatever the fuck we were doing. About that, I say. I feel like the only responsible thing to do is to have a conversation about that. The purple elephant in the room.
Yeah, he says, setting down his glass. I was kind of hoping we could delay it as long as possible tonight, but considering what we did earlier, if there is a time to talk about it, it's now.
Since we're on the same page, I decide to just go for it. I don't want to do anything that gets in the way of you and your son. I know you were talking about the issues you all have had, and I would be lying if I acted like I didn't know anything about them beforehand, so I just want to make that clear.
And I don't want to mess up anything you and Ty have, because I know he values your friendship a lot, but at the same time, I recognize I like spending time with you, and I do want to see if this could lead to something else, if that's what you want.
I wouldn't be here if I didn't.
The right side of his lips curl upward like he's as pleased with my response as I'm pleased with his.
Neither of us wants to hurt Ty, I say, but I think we both agree if there is something here, and it seems like there could be, it's worth exploring. The question is, when is the best time to tell him?
I would think, Eric says, not until we're sure this is more than fucking.
I think we're already sure it's more than that.
No, I agree. I'm sorry. That came out wrong. But more than us liking each other, we want to take this to another level than dating.
I agree with that. We both know we like each other, but we should have some time to get to know each other a little better, because this is a lot to put on Ty if we just say it and then nothing comes of this.
I just don't want to drag it out to the point where he feels like he's been deceived, Eric points out.
We've already passed that point. Even if we told him today, he's going to feel lied to. I would just prefer that we tell him sooner rather than later.
Eric nods.
It sucks, I say. There's no right answer, because it'd be a mistake to tell him now and then a week from today realize we're on different wavelengths, go our separate ways, and do all this damage to our relationships with him for nothing.
Even saying those words,
Imagining things not working out between us is painful. But this conversation is about acknowledging the worst-case scenario. At the same time, I add, if there is more, we're all fucked, because how the fuck can anyone deal with the situation we're in?
Yeah, it's a big mess.
I guess what I'm saying is, Eric, if you don't want to do this because of what it would do to your relationship with Ty, I understand that, and we could just walk away tonight.
Did you say my name to make it that much harder for me to walk away?
He asks, which makes me chuckle. Not sure if it was all that funny or because this is the most awkward conversation ever and my body is trying to shake off some of the tension.
I don't want to walk away,
Eric adds.
If I wanted to walk away, I would have done that already. I do know that I like you too much for that. You got me curious, Jesse. Curious about who you are, what you like, your hobbies, interests. I want to find out more about you, and I want you to know more about me. Hell, in a very short amount of time, I've opened up with you a lot more than I ever have with a lot of people. I know it might not seem like a lot.
It does. I interrupt quickly. I don't want you to think I don't see that, and I've appreciated everything you've talked with me about.
But, Eric continues, I think the other issue we have to deal with is the fact that it's not exactly going to be a normal dating situation. I don't figure we can go running around town to see movies together and potentially risk getting caught by Ty or one of your mutual friends.
I agree. I think that would be a mistake.
And as exciting as I'm sure it sounds to have dinner here every night for a while, I don't think we have many other options.
It's not a bad option, considering all the things we could do here. I mean, at the very least, we can enjoy fucking, hopefully, over and over and over again.
Eric smirks. There is that.
I take a sip of my wine. After what we've discussed, I could use a buzz. So, you said you wanted to know more about me? I ask. How about we do a little quid pro quo?
Like Silence of the Lambs, I tell you things, you tell me things, he quotes. This isn't for some deep, dark secrets or anything.
No, just random fun shit. Like to get to know each other better. I really want to get to know you, Eric.
Okay,
he says.
So what do you got for me then?
Let's see. I listen to a lot of podcasts. Science and history ones, mainly. I'm part of a flag football league and also a volleyball league that gets together in the summer.
Admittedly, the podcasts are kind of surprising, but not the other stuff. Considering how eager you were to learn how to surf, you're obviously athletic, not to mention your fairly impressive body.
You don't need to flatter me, Eric. You already know I'm going to fuck you, so quid pro quo, Eric.
He smiles.
Obviously amused by the little game I've made of this, but I like the idea of keeping it light, especially considering he seems like he enjoys keeping his guard up, and all I want to do is help him lower it.
I don't really play any sports. I mean, I'll play pool or basketball with the guys I hang out with, but
it doesn't have to be sports, Eric. Share anything. He thinks for a moment.
I never loved Ty's mother.
I'm quiet. Shocked. Really. I just said something that wasn't all that serious at all, and he dropped a fucking bomb.
She was a good friend. But I was really confused when we got together. Had a lot of bullshit in my head about my sexuality that I was sorting out, and I knew it wasn't right to do that to her, even as we were seeing each other. I could tell it was more to her. But
he tears up.
I did need her back then. I desperately needed a friend. Someone to talk to.
The despair in his tone breaks my heart. I can imagine him, this young guy, struggling to make sense of who he was in a very different time when the world was crueler and less understanding, and him, being how he is about opening up in general, wanting to have someone to talk to. He shakes out of his state.
What?
I ask.
Nothing.
You told me about some activities you do, and then I got all weird with oversharing. Eric, there is no oversharing right now. I really appreciated hearing that.
Quid pro quo, then. I think you owe me a little more than flag football.
That's not really how this game works, I say. But I'll let it pass this time. I think for a moment about what to talk about when he blurts out,
"Tell me some more about your parents."
About how you met them. Such a simple request evokes a powerful memory of that day, and it's not something I needed a game to bring up. In fact, I wish I would have mentioned it to him sooner. I told you after that shoplifting mess, I got sent back to the States, so I would have been 12 when this happened. One day, like any other, I was in the bathroom at the shelter. When I was coming out, I bumped into this guy in his 30s who was heading inside. He was holding a case with his laptop, and he dropped it, and I could hear the thing smash as it hit the ground. You would have thought by the sound it made that there'd be a Tiffany lamp in it. The case opened up, and the pieces went everywhere. I felt like shit. I could tell he was there because he was some parent looking at kids to potentially adopt, meaning I was going to get fussed at after he blabbed about what I'd done. I was, like, fumbling all over myself, trying to pick shit up and apologizing. I don't know how many times I begged him not to tell Miss Judy. She was in charge of us and the one who would bring down the law if anyone acted out. No matter how much I asked him not to say anything, I figured it wouldn't do me any good. And when he asked me for my name, I just knew he was going to get me into trouble with her. He said it was fine, but I figured it wouldn't be long before I got into trouble. And in some ways, I was like, fuck it. What did it matter if I did get into trouble? What did anything matter anymore? I went back to my room, and sure enough, not a half hour later, Miss Judy showed up. She wanted me to come see this guy, Stan, and his wife, Charlotte. She didn't seem mad, though, so I knew he hadn't said anything to her. She led me to her office, where Stan and Charlotte were. She sat me with them, and we all talked, and it took me a while to realize that, holy shit, they were actually talking to me to possibly become adoptive parents. I'd smashed his laptop, and here he was thinking about taking me into their home. Like, who the hell does that?
It was obviously an accident. He knew that, Eric says.
I think we've both lived long enough to learn that most people aren't typically very kind, even about accidents. I can tell by the knowing expression on his face that he knows the truth of that all too well.
It sounds like you were very fortunate to end up with good people who could see you for the incredible guy you really are.
Lucky is what I was.
A little luck goes a long way, though, doesn't it?
It really does, I admit.
I hope you're not expecting a quid pro quo.
I laugh. We'll just say you owe me one. How's that?
That's fair.
We enjoy the dinner we made, keeping the subjects light, talking movies and music, me appreciating not just what Eric shared with me, but what he let me share with him. As we joke and laugh, in spite of how serious the conversation turned, I'm tempted to think I'm going to find myself liking Eric even more than I thought I would.
Eric. I fuck Jesse from behind, his body shaking as I have his face pressed against my headboard. On his knees, he moans loudly as he jerks himself off. Oh, fuck yes, Eric. Give it to me, right there. Make me come. I speed up, working up an intense sweat, panting because he's putting me through the ringer. I grip his hair and tug back. He arches his back as he lets me guide him to me, continuing to moan. When he's upright, I continue giving him what he needs, what he keeps fucking begging me for. He reaches a hand back and grabs behind my head as he turns and kisses me. I slide my free arm around his body, up to his pecs, and massage his nipple with my finger. He laughs. What? I ask into his mouth. You're just getting so good at reading me. After 5 weeks of this, we're getting more familiar with each other's preferences in the best sort of way.
He likes it a little rough, and I like giving it to him that way. He rocks his hips back and forth subtly before coming across the sheets, and then I fill up the condom inside him, grunting while he continues kissing me and moaning with his own pleasure. As we come down together, I collapse onto my back. It's been a busy week, and it's only Wednesday. I needed that, I say with a sigh. Me too. He takes deep, steady breaths. I'm glad you're panting too, I say. Otherwise you'd make me feel like an old man. He smiles before rolling on top of me, his thick cock against my pelvis as he straddles my waist. Doesn't matter how old you are when you can fuck me like that. Besides, I can still hold my own. His lips come crashing down on mine, and I relax into his strength, letting him dominate me. When he pulls away, he gasps for breath. I enjoy being beneath him like this. Look at you owning me like this, I say, pleased with it, and he looks satisfied as fuck, as he does when he gets in a dominant position like this on occasion. There's this hunger within me. What we've shared together so far has been amazing, but there's more I want from him, and I can't explain why when I know how that would turn out. He kisses me again, and we settle, him at my side. I turn on the TV and pull up Netflix so we can continue a series we've been watching together. You still seeing Ty tomorrow? He asks. Yeah. Too bad. I was kind of wanting to have you all to myself for dinner. I'll see you afterward, though, unless you think I'll have been over here too many nights this week. I can tell by the wicked expression on his face he knows that isn't the case. Jesse and I pick up right where we left off, and it's been everything I had hoped it would be, and so much more. Work complicates things because I can't be here as much as I'd like, and when that happens, Jesse and I share the occasional phone or Skype sex, but those times when we see each other again, there's that same fire between us. What started as a spark has become a raging inferno of passion. The intensity of my desire for him only increasing the more time we spend together. Aside from a week when I had to return to San Diego for work and a few days when I met a guy in Toronto to discuss prospective business, I've been in Atlanta doing whatever the fuck Jesse and I are doing. It's been hot, fun, and better than I could have imagined. It isn't just the sex, as I suspected might have been the case. I like having him around, even to chat and watch movies and TV shows with. He's even brought over some jigsaw puzzles we work on together some nights. It's fucking incredible. Jesse is fucking incredible. We watch a TV show, laughing and playing together before heading to bed. He stayed over quite a bit. I may not be the biggest cuddler in the world because of my issues, but I notice it's different than with the other guys I've been with. I can't keep my hands off him. I want him close, even in those times where my body wants distance. The following day, I'm grinning ear to ear while I go over some of the tax paperwork Vanessa sent over for me to complete. I'm a little tense when I head out to meet with Ty. How are things at work? I ask Ty as we sit at a booth in a restaurant that's not too far from his place. I'm trying to make conversation because he's been short with me since we sat down for dinner. I've been able to make more time with him since I've been traveling back and forth between San Diego and Atlanta for the past 5 weeks. I've always made time for him whenever I could, and I've been able to see him more frequently, which has been great. But like in the past, he doesn't seem thrilled to see me. It's been good. He scrolls through his phone, which is set on the table beside him. I would actually like to talk to you at some point, I say, and he looks up, seemingly annoyed. I came into his life in the middle of his teen years, and this reminds me so much of what he was like in high school. If I can restrain myself from checking my phone, I think he can show me the same courtesy. He drags his phone off the table, slides it into his pocket. Sorry, he says, but despite how annoyed he acted when I called him out, he seems sincere. He clasps his hands together and places them on the table before him, looking at me like he's waiting for me to launch into some very important discussion. There are so many conversation starters in my head, like, "So, for the past 5 weeks, your best friend and I have been shacking up in my condo, making dinners, watching movies, talking to each other about our hobbies, interests, and careers." I can imagine exactly how well that would go over.
"I'm actually heading to Chicago at the end of the week for an audit of one of our big clients," Ty says. "That sounds really serious. How long will you be gone?"
"Right now, just a few days. I'll probably be traveling back and forth some. However, if this goes well, I could be up for a pretty big promotion."
"A promotion? That's great."
For some reason, though, he doesn't appear excited. More than anything, he appears hesitant.
"Yeah, I don't know," he says. "I'm kind of thinking about going back to school to get my CPA certification."
"Really?
I don't know if that would be a smart business move if they decide to promote me, but long term I feel like it's a very good move."
CPA certification.
"I can't believe you didn't mention this to me at any point."
"I've been going back and forth about it. I've told Mom." Despite the fact that his mother and I are fine now, I'm annoyed when he mentions her in my presence, because it reminds me that she took away all this time from us. She's the reason it's awkward as hell when I get together with my son, because she kept him from me for so long. I've tried to work through that, make it better in my head. But despite my attempts, I can't forgive her. Not entirely. Not for that.
"What does your mother say about it?" I ask.
"She's very against it. She thinks I could potentially be passing up a very good opportunity for something I may not be that good at."
"You don't think you'd be a good CPA?"
"You're very good at what you do."
"Not that, just getting certified. It's a lot of tests, and I wasn't the best at school. I mean, you know that."
"I may have been sweating bullets about you getting through that last year, but I was very proud of the way you pushed through." His expression shifts, like something I said surprised him. He glances around uneasily.
"Proud?"
"This is the first you've ever mentioned being proud of me for anything."
"What? That's not true."
"Yes, it is. You never said that when I graduated." I reflect back. Surely I must have. "I attended, and I said how happy I was, and yeah, but you didn't actually ever say that word.
Proud."
Suddenly, I feel like an asshole. "Ty, I was very proud of you." He's quiet for a moment. I'm about to go on when the waiter arrives and takes our orders. After he heads off, I refuse to let this go because I can tell by the way he reacted that this is something that means a lot to him, more than I had ever really considered. "I'm very proud that you'd be considering going back to school, despite your feelings about it in the past."
"Can you pass that news along to Mom?"
he asks, smiling, but just as quickly straightening up his expression as though he didn't want to give me even that much. Or at least that's how I'm interpreting it. "Your mom has always been very conservative and nervous about taking risks, even in her own life. She likes to play things safe. Hell, even when I was younger and talked about investing, she would get nervous as hell. But you have to take risks if you really want to stand a chance to make a big profit. That's the way life is, always has been."
"And what if I fall flat on my face?"
"Then the people around you give you shit, but are really supportive and still proud of you." I'm intentionally using the word again since I know how much it means to him, and I can tell he's surprised by it once again. I feel like such an asshole, and now I'm driving myself crazy trying to remember a time when I used the word. I guess I never thought, considering our relationship, that it would have ever meant all that much to him.
"I believe you can do it," I add. But I can read a sort of skepticism in his expression, like he's thinking, "How do you know I can? You haven't been there all these years. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I'm capable of."
He doesn't understand that I believe in him because I believe he's capable of doing these things, because he's accomplished so much in his life. And I think He's limiting himself in the way his mother always limited herself.
The conversation shifts to sports, movies, and the weather, but not in the way we usually discuss them, like we don't have anything to talk about. Feels like Ty is actually trying to connect with me. I think a part of what helps has to do with my conversations with Jesse about Ty, where he's insisted that Ty really does care about our relationship and wants me to be in his life. It gives me hope, which I admit I haven't always had when it comes to Ty. When we finish catching up, I head back to my place. As I open the door, a powerful scent fills the air. I head around the corner and see Jesse's already in the kitchen. I gave him a key last week. It wasn't so much a symbol of anything about where we're at as much as I liked that he was able to come in and just meet me here, even if I was running late at the gym or on a run in Piedmont Park. He glances over his shoulder, a smile whisking across his face as he hollers, "Hey, honey, glad you're home." That playful tone is music to my ears and makes my dick twitch. "What's that smell?" I ask. I figured since you were having dinner with Ty, I could at least provide some dessert. "What is this dessert?" I start toward the oven, but Jesse jumps in my way. "Uh-uh-uh. It's a surprise." "Oh? A surprise?" I like surprises. As I approach him, cornering him against the oven, I wrap my arms around him, and he leans into my kiss, eagerly embracing it the way he usually does. He places his hand on my cheek and runs his thumb through my scruff before pushing me back to the adjacent counter, taking control, as is his way. It's something I appreciate about him. That as much as he may enjoy submitting and bottoming for me, there's this side of him that enjoys taking control, asserting his own dominance in situations. I welcome those moments, because it's nice to feel comfortable letting go around someone. The guys I've dated in the past, Casey included, have tended to be all about wanting me to take control, and maybe that's why I've gravitated to guys like that, because I enjoyed having control. Something about the way Jesse takes charge is nice, though, and I can't explain why. As he pulls away, he studies my face. "So, how was your dinner with Ty?" "Considering the expression you made when you walked in, it looks like things went better than you expected." I had discussed my nervousness about meeting with Ty when I had called him earlier in the day. Not an unusual thing. I'm usually like that about getting together with Ty, whether it's for dinner or to see a game or go to a movie. "What expression was I making?" I ask. "You looked relieved." I sigh. "Well, it wasn't that great. It started off going about as well as it always does, but then I felt like, I don't know how." He opened up to me more. "Also, I have this horrible awareness that I never told my son I'm proud of him." "That can't be right," he says. "I don't know, it seems like I would have told him that before, but he mentioned it tonight and he could be right." "Do you really think you haven't? Haven't you been proud of him?" "Of course I have, but I'm not sure I ever said it." "Why do you think that is?" He appears genuinely curious, and I wish I knew the answer. I was thinking about that all the way over here, and in some ways, I think I don't even want to say it. But I go for the thought that keeps coming to mind. I never thought it would have mattered to him. Like I didn't have a right to say it. "Is that stupid?" "Maybe a little, but I understand. If you never felt like much of a dad to him, I could see why that could seem like a big thing to say. But if that's true, why do you think you said it tonight?" "Possibly because after talking to you about Ty, I have hope again that he might really want me in his life. Thank you for that." I kiss him again, softly, intimately, in a way that means so much more than those frenzied kisses we shared in the beginning. Not that we don't still have those, but I appreciate the variations in our kisses these days, and exploring every way of kissing I can with him.
When I finally pull away from him, I ask, "Have you heard anything about this CPA idea he has? Funny that you mention it. He's actually talked to me a lot about that recently, kind of conflicted. I've been encouraging him to go for it." I was trying to do that too, and I really hope he does. As he said when we were talking, he wasn't really all that great with school when he was there, so it's nice to see him passionate about that after being away from it a while. "I feel the same way," he says, like I'm echoing some of his own thoughts about Ty. Now that was my day, so quid pro quo, I say. "How about yours?" Jesse smiles, seeming to appreciate the little game we play. It was lovely. After work, the guys and I got together and played some flag football. Kind of short-handed, since Ty evidently had to get together with his dad. He makes an over-dramatic gesture toward me, rolling his eyes. Then afterward, I had to hurry over here, take a shower, get my booty clean, and then try and get together my surprise dessert since I'm kind of amazing at baking. He kind of is, and I haven't been shy about sharing that fact with him. "A little too amazing," I say, patting my stomach. "I think I've put on 10 pounds in the past month." "That is such bullshit," he says. "Maybe two. But you needed to put on a little extra weight. I think you were getting a little too skinny." I'm pretty sure that's not a thing that actually happens when you're over 40. "I've been able to get a few runs in this week, but I'm not able to hit the gym as frequently as you." "I didn't hit the gym today, so there you go. It's Thursday. This is your day off," I remind him, and I'm kind of impressed with myself for knowing that fact. The look in his eyes lets me know he's impressed as well. "Look at you, memorizing my schedule." "I have an assistant for all that. I get her to put all your things on my calendar." I lie, and he chuckles. "Maybe you just have these stalker tendencies I'm not quite used to yet." He tightens his grip around me before glancing over his shoulder, checking the clock over the oven. He turns back to me. "Why don't you go shower and clean your own hole while I get this?" He grips my ass cheeks firmly. I know he's kidding, but the joke is short-lived, because as soon as the words escape his lips, he releases his grip, his eyes widening, his expression filled with worry. "Sorry, Eric. I didn't mean..." I know what he's thinking about. He's been so good at being respectful and not bringing up that thing he knows makes me uneasy, not trying to draw attention to the fact that I'm not comfortable bottoming or with him playing too much around my ass. It's not really about him having his hands on my ass like that, and the way he just let loose reminds me that this is how at ease we are around one another. "Jesse, it's not a big deal, but thank you." I appreciate his concern and his genuine, sincere interest in making sure I'm comfortable. Perhaps that's one of the reasons why I'm not alarmed, because I feel safe with Jesse, although his joke tells me that he would enjoy if I bottomed for him. That's not the only clue I've received. I can tell by the way he moves in the bedroom, by those times when I find myself pinned beneath him, and I have to admit, I desire it too. There's a part of me that wishes I could be open to that, at least more than I have been, that I could let go of my past and the pain and the anxiety. But in a way, even just this moment gives me hope there's a possibility, because the suggestion doesn't arouse the normal tension and uneasiness I associate with that. There's a part of me, maybe wishful thinking, that wonders if he could help take away that pain and darkness in my life and replace it with something that feels good. I haven't really ever allowed myself to consider that. I spent so much time avoiding it. But with Jesse, I'm willing to try. Can I? Could I? I head to the shower and wash off. After I clean my hole, I take a moment, playing with it, sliding my fingers inside, imagining what it would be like to let Jesse do that. I feel this ache in me, this hunger, to let him take my body, claim me, give me that. Some nights I imagine him taking me and making me totally his. But there's a fear in the back of my mind, a reminder. That tension and uneasiness I felt him awaken within me when he so much as put his hand there. I don't want to shut down like I have in the past. I know it's possible, and it scares me. I push the thought away.
Not tonight. At least, it's too soon. I'm not ready.
When I finish my shower, I head into the kitchen, a towel around my waist. Jesse has a tray of snickerdoodle cookies on the counter, which he removes and puts onto a plate. God, I'm gonna get so fat with you, I tell him. He turns to me and looks me up and down. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do to keep the other boy's hands off you. I laugh, enjoying the possessiveness. I approach him and seize a cookie off the plate. I don't think it'll do that much damage, I say, before taking a bite. Really? Because I was hoping tonight would be all about damage, he says, before backing his ass up against my crotch. I set my free hand on his hip, pulling back. I'm so hungry for it. And I'm pleased that tonight, I'm the one who's going to be topping. Jesse. On Friday, Ty and I meet after work with some of the members of our flag football team to play a quick game of basketball before I take Ty to the airport. When we finish, I give him a hard time about missing a few passes. Jesus fucking Christ, Ty says as he pulls his shirt off and wipes it across his brow as we approach the water fountain alongside the gym wall. You were a fucking machine out there. I lean down, press my finger against the button on the fountain, and get a drink of water. After I've quenched my thirst, I lean back and Ty ducks down, getting some water for himself before taking a deep breath and saying, "We should go out for drinks soon. I feel like I haven't seen you in forever." I start through the court toward the showers. "I've been texting you the past few weeks to see if you want to do shit." Although, admittedly, his being busy with work has only given me more opportunities to spend time with Eric. "I know, it's my fault," Ty says. "Work is hectic right now. I'll feel better once I get back from Chicago. Then we're gonna have a night out. Just us. Like the good old days." I grin as I think about how much I want to spend some more time with him. I'd like that. I catch his expression. I can tell he would like that too. And his sincerity and the seeming obliviousness to what I'm doing with Eric forces guilt to rise up within me. Ty adds, "I wish we had some time to hang before I leave, but we'll have time once I get back. I just feel like it's been forever, you know?" "I really do," I say, pleased that he cares enough to even say that, but also feeling like an ass for already having plans with my parents, not to mention the other reasons I have to feel guilty. "Speaking of leaving, thank you for giving me a ride to the airport," he says. "I've changed my mind. Catch a bus, scrub." He laughs before shoving me playfully with his shoulder. "Thanks, asshole," he says, still chuckling a little from my joke. We hit the showers, and I change into a fresh pair of clothes before driving Ty to the airport, and then heading to my parents' place. "I'm home," I announce as I enter the kitchen. Stan stands at the stove. He turns to me, a bright smile spreading across his face.
"Hey, Jesse."
He approaches me and offers a warm hug. "Took you long enough to come and see us." Charlotte steps through the dining room entryway. She hurries to join in on our hug.
"That's right. It's definitely about time," Stan adds. "I know you have a new job and all, but you have to make time for family."
"It's been maybe a week," I say. "Longer than it used to be," Charlotte notes. Truthfully, I haven't been around as frequently as I usually am, and a lot of that has to do with spending time with Eric. As they pull away, Stan gets back to making dinner. We catch up, me telling them a little more about my new job, my co-workers, and my supervisors. I notice how I have to keep off what's really become the most important subject for me. Eric. It's strange. I've always been comfortable sharing things with them because they've always made me feel safe and accepted. But as much as I would like to share this with them, especially as things intensify with Eric, I know our relationship hasn't reached that place yet. We're getting close, though. And the more time we spend together, even in the closed quarters of his condo, the more I come to appreciate the man Eric is. But I don't want to sit around his condo. I want to take him on a date. A real date. I'm not ashamed of him or what we're doing. Although, I know even wanting that doesn't make our lives any easier, especially considering his situation with Ty. When I finish having dinner with Charlotte and Stan, I head out. Not driving to my place, but to Eric's. What started off as a few nights a week has become more and more frequent. Even when I don't go to his place, I find myself wanting to call him or check in on him for the night. It's a little obsessive, a little possessive, and I'm not ashamed of being that way. I feel like I've been gradually pushing through his barriers. In the beginning, we would just fuck, but that turned into dinner, and then messing around some more. Eventually, that turned into chilling, hanging out, having a beer or a glass of wine while we work on a jigsaw puzzle on the coffee table in his living room. The one we're working on now is a landscape photo of a lake and a log cabin. We finish the edges. As we work our way toward the middle, Eric struggles to find a spot for a piece. I inspect the edges, and a realization hits me. I hold my hand out.
"Really? You know where this one goes?" he asks, eyeing me skeptically.
I wave for him to hand it to me, and when he does, I set it in a spot it fits perfectly within. I didn't know for sure it would fit, but it worked out in my favor that it did. Eric looks impressed, and it's my favorite look on him. "I told you, I'm not too bad at these things."
"Maybe I should have gotten children's ones for me, so at least I could practice."
"You and your parents do these a lot?" he asks, all the time. We actually would just have an ongoing puzzle, so even if one of us wasn't home, the other could come around and work on it. Eventually, after a week, we'd finish one, and then we'd have to get another. I have tons of these I haven't done before. Charlotte and Stan give me these things as gifts because I enjoy doing them.
"It's obviously not the most ideal date, you have to admit," Eric says.
I can see the disappointment in his expression, and I wonder if it's his own disappointment for himself or for me. I'd say I'm having a pretty great date. I lift my glass of Chardonnay off the table. Here I am, working on a jigsaw puzzle, with a sexy man I plan on fucking around with as soon as he becomes so annoyed with this puzzle that he can't stand to do anything but ravage my body, and getting a little tipsy in the process, I would say that's a pretty good night.
Wouldn't you? "Are you about ready for me to ravage your body?" he asks, a mischievous expression on his face.
"I think we can fill out a few more pieces. I don't know that you're at that particular level of annoyance I need you to be at so you can take me and bang the shit out of me." He takes a sip of his own wine, then sets the glass down on the coffee table beside the puzzle.
"Then I better work hard to get annoyed a little faster."
I feel like an idiot, because it's the silliest thing for me to be grinning at, but I can't help myself. Eric gets me giddy and excited in a way no one else really can or ever has. Sure, I'd have fun with Whitney all the time, but it wasn't like this. Eric might not find this to be particularly fun or the best date in the world, but there's an intimate connection we've formed in even these most simple of moments, a connection I cherish.
"Tell me," he says, "what would be your ideal date if we didn't do this tonight?"
Ideal date. I pretend to muse on the thought longer than I really need to, because I've already been considering it more and more frequently, actually. I think my ideal date would be going out on a nice long walk, a hike, maybe during the day in the woods, maybe a romantic picnic, and then we'd stay out late, wait for the stars, and look at them. Start a fire, grill some food.
"That doesn't sound like a date as much as it sounds like camping."
"Well, I'd want my date to be camping then," I confess. There's a seriousness in his expression, as though he's once again recognizing the limitations we've placed on ourselves. "There's no reason we couldn't go camping somewhere," he says.
"It's almost April, and the weather's nice. What if we went up to North Carolina and had a little camping outing?"
"Do you have camping gear?" I ask.
"Of course I have camping gear. My crew and I typically do camping retreats every once in a while. I can get everything together, and then we can head up tomorrow if you want."
He looks almost nervous, like he's expecting me to say no. "We should," I say quickly, wanting to ease any uncertainty he might have had about my answer.
"Really?
Why are you surprised? I come up to your condo at least every other night because I want to see you. You don't think I want to go out in the world and do something with you?"
"I would really enjoy that, Eric."
"I would enjoy that too," he says.
"A lot. More than you could know."
"Is everything okay?" I ask.
"Yeah, of course it is."
"Why?" He says it's fine, but his expression seems uneasy. "You're acting kind of weird. Are you worried about Ty finding out? We don't have to do anything in public."
"That's hardly in public," Eric insists. "I don't think we're going to get caught taking a drive up to North Carolina. We are getting to the point where it's probably about time we do tell him."
He looks around at the floor for a moment before his gaze meets mine.
"I think you're right," I reply.
He gulps.
"It's not going to be fucking easy."
"I've considered that. But I think we definitely need to talk to him, and probably sooner rather than later.
I really like you, Eric. And I don't think this is going to get any easier the more we do this."
"Yeah, I'm figuring that out too."
"I think we should probably tell him when he gets back from Chicago," I say.
Eric smiles, and there's something so reassuring about his expression, something disarming about it. Knowing we're on the same page makes me feel comforted. He crawls around the table, and I turn to him as he keeps moving toward me.
"What are you doing?" I ask him.
"I'm about to ravage you," he warns before he presses his lips against mine.
He shoves me back down against the carpet, straddling my waist. I grab hold of his ass cheeks, squeezing tightly. I've noticed he allows me more liberties back there than he did in the beginning. There's not any discomfort when I do it. He kisses me harder. I would love to do so much more back there, but I'm not going to push. I don't want to make him uncomfortable. Ever. I've let him move at his own pace. I don't push for a hug or anything more affectionate, even when I want to. And the more I've stayed over, the more I can tell he's willing to put his arms around me, that it's almost like he can't help himself.
"You like my ass, don't you?"
he asks as he pulls his lips away from mine.
"I love your fucking ass."
He studies my expression. I'm not sure what he's trying to figure out. But then he says,
"Well, maybe you'll get lucky this weekend."
My dick goes hard as a fucking rock.
"Oh, really?"
I ask. Once again, I can't stifle my grin.
"Not tonight, though," he says, shaking his head. "Tonight, this ass is mine."
"Yes, it is." He seizes my wrists and pulls them back over my head, pinning me down. His lips slam down against mine. As much as I enjoy the fantasy of topping him, I certainly don't mind bottoming either.
Eric. The next morning, Jesse and I stop by my storage unit, where we grab my camping gear and lug it to the car. When he showed up at my condo beforehand, he looked so adorable in shorts and a tank. He brought a backpack and a sleeping bag with him, ready for our weekend excursion. We load the gear into the back of my Audi before I hop into the car and prepare for a leisurely drive to North Carolina. I'm excited, not just because I'm eager to spend time with Jesse, but because we're doing it in public. When we first got back from Puerto Vallarta, I was fine with confining our relationship to my condo. It wasn't different from what we shared in Mexico, and in a way, it was nice getting to have our private affair in this fantasy that was removed from our real lives.